From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. Starting today, the state says some businesses that have been shuttered for a month can reopen. But the city and borough of Juneau is asking business owners to wait a little longer for local leaders to discuss the pros and the cons. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more on that story.
The new state health mandate lists several types of non-essential businesses that can now choose to reopen, as long as they follow rules meant to keep people safe. But Juneau is asking local business owners to hold off. Mayor Beth Weldon says the city assembly will discuss the state's guidelines Monday.
We are going to look at the mandates a little bit more in detail and see if indeed we're comfortable with all of them. They seem, for the businesses trying to reopen, they seem to have some pretty strict regulations in place. So that's comforting.
The city won't prevent anyone from opening up in the meantime. But Weldon says they would like to hear from the community before the assembly decides whether to set some rules of its own. For some business owners, there was confusion about how to safely open. The state's Board of Barbers and Hairdressers met for several hours Friday morning, answering dozens of questions about everything from where customers should wait to how to properly sanitize a space. Some owners questioned if they could get sued if someone caught COVID-19 in their shops. Calls to several Juneau-area barbershops and hair salons on Friday revealed several were open and accepting customers one at a time, but others remained closed. Joe Betts, owner of Little Mermaid Beauty Salon in Douglas, was in her shop cleaning and getting ready to reopen, but not just yet.
My first reaction was it was too soon.
Juneau has had 27 confirmed cases of COVID-19 so far. 18 of those have recovered. After doing her own research and seeing what national authorities are saying, Betts decided to wait until May 1st.
Everyone I've made the appointment with has said, absolutely, I agree. I think that's really good. That's good that you're doing that. And they've also been very good about saying that they were very proud of me for waiting to open until I felt comfortable to open.
She says she actually closed her salon a week before the state mandate was issued, requiring her to do so in March. She also had multiple people ask her to make house calls, but she said no. When she does reopen, she's asking customers to wait in their cars until she comes to get them. She'll sanitize between each appointment and wear a mask. She's already fully booked a week out from May 1st, and that's just her regulars.
My hair color people are my first priority because they are the most desperate. But trying to get my own local clientele in first before I start taking people that I don't know.
On Monday, when the Juneau Assembly meets again, it could decide to reintroduce some of the restrictions from the city's hunker down order. Assemblymember Rob Edwardson says he still has some reservations about the state's ability to assess the risk that reopening businesses and relaxing restrictions could mean for public health.
I definitely think that it's a possibility to go back to that. I don't know how much support there would be on the assembly. I definitely think it's a possibility that the assembly would go with the governor's lift with no modifications, but I kind of feel like that it's what we're going to end up with will be someplace in between.
Either way, Edwardson says he hopes Juneau residents will continue doing what they've been doing, washing their hands frequently, social distancing, and wearing a mask when appropriate. The assembly will discuss the mandate during Monday's regular meeting at 7 p.m. Before that, Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink will answer questions from the assembly starting at 6 p.m. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And this week was supposed to herald the arrival of the first cruise ship to Juneau. But no cruise ships came, and they're not coming for a while. This isn't just an economic blow to town, it's made the place completely unfamiliar in many ways. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton has more on that story.
There could have been more than 2,000 people here for 8 whole hours spending money. And they would have been the first of nearly 1.5 million cruise ship passengers Juneau was expecting to see this summer. Last year, there was fanfare when the first ship of the season showed up. It was sunny, and there were native drummers there to greet passengers, and a whole team of helpful people from the Visitors Bureau steering people towards the best local hikes or local shops. Today, it's gray and soggy and completely dead at the cruise ship docks. There are supposed to be lines of people at dozens of booths today, signing up for whale watching or gold panning tours. The stores are supposed to be open. The Mount Roberts tram is supposed to be hauling people up the mountain. There are supposed to be crowds of people from all over the world speaking a bunch of different languages. But there is literally no one here, and nothing is happening. the industry has been dealt a series of blows this year in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. There have been port closures in Canada and Seattle, and a federal no-sale order, not to mention the horror stories from several outbreaks of this very disease on cruise ships in the past 2 months. So far, about 360 sailings that would have come through Juneau have been canceled, which means that already 700,000 fewer passengers are coming during what was supposed to be a blockbuster year. There are sailings on the books starting in July, but there's no guarantee that those will happen. Juneau City Manager Rory Watt has worked for 20 years on development of the city's waterfront.
I go out for a walk and I check on the construction projects that have to get done soon because we know they're coming, and there's always a little bit of a fire drill to wrap things up. Except everybody's got all the time in the world right now, and the waterfront is empty. And it feels sort of normal, but strange because everything is different.
Between the loss of cruise ship taxes and local sales taxes, Juneau's in a world of hurt for revenue this year. Not that long ago, the city was in a totally different kind of hard spot. It was trying to tackle some of the problems that come with 1.5 million visitors.
So that's stunning how fast we went from trying to figure out what to do with too many tourists to not having any tourists at all, a totally different kind of problem. So, you know, on the one hand, too many tourists causes a social problem, and not enough tourists causes an economic problem.
Liz Perry runs Travel Juneau, which markets the city for conferences and non-cruise ship travelers. With the governor's health mandate that requires a 14-day quarantine for anyone who comes from out of state, Juneau probably won't see any of those folks anytime soon.
It's not the right time to really be rolling out a big campaign to get people to travel because we're not sure, again, when that's going to be possible. We have to be ready as an industry, and the community has to be ready to welcome those folks back in.
And even though independent travelers spend more per person when they come to Juneau than someone who gets off a cruise ship, the city just doesn't have the capacity to backfill the kind of loss it's facing now. But Perry does see independent travel as a bright spot.
It's a real opportunity for us to really invite in a big, big way our independent travelers and really show Juneau off as the cruise lines are recovering from the pandemic.
There's no one to interview at the docks today. The shops are boarded up. The tram is under construction. Parts of the waterfront are under construction, too. The public bathrooms are locked, and the trash cans are wrapped in plastic so you can't use them. It feels like no one is getting ready for anything to start anytime soon, which is not an unfamiliar feeling for most people in most places right now. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.
Governor Mike Dunleavy has released a new health mandate for commercial fishermen. This comes the same day that the Bristol Bay's Regional Health Corporation called for this year's commercial fishery to be closed, a move that signals communities' deepening opposition to moving forward with the season without a more defined plan in place to lower the risk of spreading COVID-19. For Alaska's Energy Desk, Izzy Ross has more on that story.
The Bristol Bay fishery will be operating under a strict set of guidelines this season, laid out in the new mandate released Thursday by Governor Mike Dunleavy. Crew members and captains who want to fish in Bristol Bay will have to wear masks while traveling there and go immediately to the place where they'll quarantine for 2 weeks. Once they arrive, they'll have to have their temperatures checked twice a day. The mandate targets independent fishing boats, many of which are operated by captains and crew who travel to Bristol Bay from outside Alaska. The new mandate also requires crew members to undergo verbal and physical screenings upon arrival, and they can't have respiratory problems or fever. Crew members are able to quarantine on board, though they're still allowed to fish as long as they restrict contact with other boats and people on shore as much as possible. To protect communities, the mandate stipulates that crew can only leave the vessel for essential purposes. Boats are also required to continuously monitor crew members who show signs of illness. If a fisherman is suspected of having COVID-19, they must wear a mask or cloth covering and stay in a private room with a door and separate bathroom facilities, though that may not be available on every boat.
That was Izzy Ross reporting. And taking a look at the weather for tonight, patchy fog and chance of rain and lows around 40. For Saturday, rain is likely and highs around 50.
Station. And from Deloitte, offering COVID-19 perspective and business insights from economics to remote working to supply chain. On the web at deloitte.com/COVID-19. From the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, committed to supporting the health and economic well-being of women in the U.S. and around the world. More information is available at hewlett.org. From Sentinel One, AI-powered cybersecurity for protecting enterprise devices anywhere, designed to stop cyber attacks on endpoint devices, IoT, and cloud workloads. More at sentinelone.com. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.